Welcome to Taller to Titles Down Under Dynasty Edition with your host at Life from the Bend. And here I am with my co-host, as always, Matt Hatton at FF Doormat. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well, as always. Pretty pumped to talk to our guest tonight, talk a bit of footy, and it's getting closer to the launch. I think we're into the 80-odd days till kickoff. So feels like it's getting close. How about you, mate? How are you doing?
Less than 3 months in to go before the season starts, eagerly waiting to see what the NFL Game Pass renewal is going to cost me. And
VPN yeah, it. Yeah.
Calm down. Let's not say that on here. It's sounds dodgy. Anyway, look, we've got a cracker guest tonight. So let's get on it and we'll bring him right into the stream. You ready, Matt?
Let's do it.
Mr. Brandon Perry, how are you today, sir?
I am wonderful. How are you guys?
I'm really good, mate. I'm really good.
I think I might be ruining the broadcast because I'm bringing an American accent to the Australian podcast.
That's okay. I like your accent. I think it's fantastic. And plus, we're used to having to hear it from the other blokes.
To deal with these blokes, right?
Yeah, on the channel. But it does change the question that we normally ask our guests. Because it's a little bit different, because we normally ask, how as an Australian did you get into the NFL? So obviously a little bit different for yourself.
Yeah.
But how as an American did you get into the NFL?
Well, I got an even better one for you. I grew up in heavy Bronco country, Denver Bronco country. I am not a Denver Broncos fan. Let's see here. Same colors slightly, but I am a Chicago Bear fan. So that's actually a more interesting story. So I think what happened in my case, because I'm kind of the black sheep of the family, is when I was a kid, probably about 10 years old, although I'm dating myself here, Bears, Super Bowl 85, Red Sox 86, Bulls, Jordan just joined the team right in that general vicinity. Those are the teams that I followed for ages. And still generally do, other than basketball's changed because Jordan's no longer around. So I think I'm just a bandwagon fan from 85, 86.
So even though you didn't stick with the Chicago Bulls, you stuck with the Bears.
Yeah. Well, see, I think what happened with the Bulls was that, like, when Jordan retired, I just didn't care anymore. So then I realized I really wasn't a Bulls fan. I was a Jordan fan. So I now actually do cheer for my hometown Jazz, which is mostly where I lived in the States, was Utah. So a little depressed that they just bowed out of the playoffs there. But lots of young, nice talent, a couple Aussies on the team, always fun to watch. So
yeah, they got Ingles, and who's the other one?
Now you put me on the spot. So they did have Exum. He's pretty cool. Much from the suburb that I live at. But they traded him off. So that was nice. Give me a second on that one. There's another one. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah. It was a disappointing end to the Jazz season. But
yeah,
we don't talk basketball here. We talk NFL, number
That's
one
right.
sport.
That's it. Agreed.
So you've been playing fantasy football for a long time. How did you get into fantasy football?
I think I'm not completely sure what really flipped the switch. It's been ages. I think my first league I was in, I commissioned. The very first one. It was back before the internet. Well, not the internet, but before the World Wide Web existed. We're talking back in the early 90s. I was keeping track on it on a spreadsheet, basically looking at the newspaper clippings, the box scores from the Monday, Tuesday papers, and adding all the numbers and doing the calculations and then posting the results like Tuesday night for the league. And I did that every week for years. Eventually, as the World Wide Web took off, that made things a little bit easier. I could get instant results, but I was still keeping track of it on a spreadsheet. And then eventually, I can't remember if there's anything in between, but I definitely remember jumping on Fanball, the old Fanball. I know they've morphed into some other conglomerate now, but they used to basically run fantasy leagues, and that's what they did. And I was on Fanball from 2000 till about 2008, and that was kind of all my redraft keeper era. I didn't get into dynasty till a bit later on. 2008, moved over to MFL, and I haven't left. I mean, that's my home. I won't even touch another league that is not MFL. Just my thing. I know a lot of people hate it, sleeper and whatnot, but That is where I live. So been on MFL ever since, eventually morphed into Dynasty, and now just starting to kind of get into the Debbie atmosphere. I've been commissioning the entire time, commissioned up to, I think, 7 leagues now I'm up to now.
And how did you make the transition from redraft fantasy football into Dynasty fantasy football?
I think mainly it was just for a new challenge. Can't remember how early I was onto the Dynasty train from when it kind of started. I'm sure I was a few years late into it, but I couldn't really get, because all I had for a long time was I was commissioned just a home league in the back in the U.S. With friends and family, my brother, best friend, other friends and family. And I still do that to this day. That league's 20 plus years in its current form, and probably some other form before that. But I think it was just looking for another challenge. And so I think 2 years before I moved to Australia, 2012. 2 years before that, I started the Dynasty League over in the U.S. with some people online that I'd met through various things, Chicago message boards, Bears message boards, and different things. And I had that going for a couple years before I moved to Australia. But then with the move and everything, I kept the home league, my keeper league, but I did actually dump the Dynasty League just because I thought it was going to be too difficult to run. From over here, not really knowing how NFL, am I even going to be able to watch it? How's that going to work? Moved to Australia, joined some leagues with, we'll get into some commish issues here in a bit, I think, but had a really bad commish. About half that league left the league. And at that point, I was just like, just do it yourself, man. So I just grabbed that group of boys, started a Melbourne-based keeper league. And I've been running that since, 2015, I think, is when the first year we had that, 2015. So that's kind of what started me commissioning leagues in Australia with Australian owners.
And that's the league that I joined, I think, 2 seasons back, right?
Yes, a couple seasons back. That's right. Yeah, you took over for somebody else. Yep.
Yeah, that's a great league. We draft in person. Mm-hmm. And then they have a couple of catch-ups after the season that I haven't been able to get to yet. I'm a bad person. But next season's happening.
Next season. There's always next season. That's right. Yeah, we have a trophy. We do a barbecue to hand over the trophy. We went to San Antonio's this season to give the trophy over to our two-time winner. He didn't actually get the trophy last year due to COVID. So he was nice enough to win it a second time so he could keep it for the year. So.
Mm. And then he went all in to win it prior year. So the fact that he won it this year as well was pretty impressive.
Yeah, we did a terrible job because he traded away future draft picks, which in a keeper or a redraft is obviously never a great idea. And he still somehow figured out how to win a second time. That's our fault, really, Morton. His good job, but we'll give him credit.
I was smashing through the regular season of that league until the final couple of weeks. Smashing. Anyway. I'm a bit dirty about that. So how did you connect with guys like Mick and Scotty T to be involved with them in Dynasty Leagues?
It was just the networking, which I think all you guys kind of, ran across. It's a fairly small niche group of, there's not a lot of people that watch football in Australia to start with. So you got that small group. And then you pare that down to the ones that just play your casual redraft leagues on ESPN or all the, whatever providers do that stuff. I haven't touched that in ages. Then you get down into the guys that really want to do Dynasty and Debbie and really sink their teeth into it. And that's an even smaller group of people. So I had a group, and then you get a couple people leave or whatever happens. And then you just kind of put the word out, and then they bring in other people that they've been in the leagues with. And once you get about 3 or 4 kind of iterations out, all of a sudden you get a group of about 30 people that are really good at what they do. Australian players are so much better than the U.S. players. I cannot even tell you. My U.S. leagues are absolute trash compared to the Aussies. And I think that just comes down to, if you're going to put your time into NFL as an Aussie, you actually have to invest instead of just being a casual, I just watch a game on Sunday because it's on TV. So,
yeah, definitely. I think if you're a dynasty fantasy football player and you're Australian, you're pretty much in an NFL tragic, right?
Yep. You're up at 3 a.m. to watch games. I got to get up at 3, 4, 5, depending on time zone changes, to watch my Bears play. Of course, they had to be the early game. And yeah, it's a, you got to dedicate yourself. Because the thing is, like, you can't, as any sports fan knows, you know the scores. You can't hide from the scores. Even in Australia, it's very difficult to hide from scores. So, yeah, you got to get up and do it if you want to, you know, be a true fan of your team. So,
for sure. So to have you on the podcast and not talk about commish stuff would be a wasted opportunity as a veteran commish of many, many years like yourself. So when you're running leagues, what are some of the pillars of the leagues that you run? What are the settings that you prefer? What are some of the bylaws that you always make sure you have in place?
Yep. You know, my thing is, number one, you got to have good owners. If you have good owners, your job as a commish is 10 times easier because bad owners can just make your life just a living pain in the butt. So I think the main thing is I spent a lot of time, especially in my first keeper league that I did here, Melbourne based. I interviewed owners. I literally met one owner at a pub a couple suburbs over. His name's Rule. He's now moved back to the Netherlands. He was from the Netherlands. He's now gone back. But we literally, he's a Green Bay fan too, so I had to really check him out because I was a little worried. but too many Green Bay fans over here. So I really, really invested into like getting to know every single person before I let him into the league just to kind of make sure I had a good group. And that's been pretty rock solid. I mean, really the only reason we've lost people is because people have moved away out of Melbourne, which kind of is what the whole thing is to live draft and meet, you know, hang out with the guys and do things. So, you know, we have lost a few people along the way, but overall the retention in that league and all my leagues is extremely good. On top of that, I think if you look at every one of my leagues, I started a keeper league and then I added a dynasty league. And then I added an IDP Dynasty League. And then I added an Empire League, which maybe some people might not know what that is, but it's got kind of a progressive pot sort of aspect to it. And then when somebody wins that pot, the league's over and you just redraft.
And how do they win the progressive pot in the Empire
League? You either win back-to-back or a total of three total. I saved the league last season because one of our owners, Scott, who's very dirty at me for this, got to his second championship in a row, won one, and I was the one he was facing, and I beat him. Otherwise, he would have won the pot, and the league would have been done, but I beat him, so we play on. So until somebody goes back-to-back or somebody wins three.
So is anyone in a position to win three in that league? You.
Me. Yeah, I won the first season, and then this was then Scott won. And then I won this last season to keep Scott from winning back to back. So now every year it'll be me. If I win, it's over. Or if whoever won the season before. So there'll be at least two people going forward now that if they win, it's done. We pay off the pot and we redraft, get new owners if we need to or whatever. Good way to keep retention up, though, because nobody's going to leave those dollars on the table.
No way.
I like it. So. It's a bit of progression of a new challenge, a new thing. On top of that, having a good constitution, have all your rules written down. If anything pops up that you haven't seen, which is it happens every season, if something new pops up, I mean, COVID, oh my gosh, as a commissioner, change it every single season. Add what you needed to add that wasn't in there before. Have people suggest changes. My leagues change every year. They started off with a fairly similar rule. I mean, they still are fairly similar, but like they all have little tweaks that owners have proposed along the way. It passes in one league. If I really, really like it, I'll propose it in other leagues as well. So maybe I can keep them all standardized. Sometimes I'm like, take it or leave it, but the owners want it in this league. That's fine. So I think it's, you know, it's keeping your finger on the pulse of what your owners want, giving them a fair way to put it in, being available, running the league in an efficient manner, and everybody knows what's going on. I can't stand being in leagues where you don't know who makes the playoffs. It feels like it's made up every season. You don't know how much money you're supposed to win. You don't know anything, and you're just flying by the seat of your pants. It drives me crazy. So I do theme my leagues up a bit as well, too. I like to have nice banners, and I've kind of really gotten into themes for my leagues the last few leagues that I've put in as well. So I think that kind of puts a nice little entertaining spin on things.
Can't start a new league without a cool theme, right? Got to have a cool theme if you're starting a new league.
That's where I am at this point. But the hard part's thinking of the theme. So, yeah.
So one thing you do in your leagues, which blows my mind, is you don't make people pay to trade future firsts.
Yeah.
Right. And you've haven't had any problems with it.
No.
Right. And that's not a question. That's a statement because I've seen it. Right.
So yeah.
And I mean, I've seen other leagues that have just had so many issues with that, and the new owners come in, and that even though they're in situations where they're aware they have to pay, they still complain about having to pay, and they want, you know, favors and discounts and extra stuff. But yeah. I mean, you haven't had any problems with it at all. You always get replacement owners within, you know, really, really quickly. They come in, they're great owners. They happily play for the league, and it just keeps on keeping on. How do you do it?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what I talked about before. It's having the good owners to start with, right? If you just chuck any warm body that wants to throw down $30 or whatever your league fee is, and that's like the end of it, then you're going to get people that'll trade away all picks, and then they're going to say, oh, this team sucks. Like, I did a bad job drafting, and I got no way to fix it, so I'm just going to bail and dump it. And then you are kind of stuck. I think I've only had one team that was a little bit rough, not because the owner really did anything nefarious or really tried to tank the team in any way. I just, you know, think that, you know, they just, you know, things just went pear-shaped on them. And I don't, they didn't leave for the reason of, oh, my team sucks. They left for other reasons. So I had to, I think I gave somebody a free season. And I think we chucked in an extra first at the end of the first round just to kind of make it palatable because they didn't have a first round pick to help fix the team. But you know, the whole league was on board for that decision to chuck in the extra first round pick. You know, it's for the good of the league. I think if you don't charge for those future seasons, you can leave yourself open, to some issues, admittedly. But I weighed that up against stifling trading because I think charging for those seasons really stifles the trading hugely. So, you know, I kind of waded into things slowly, keeper, dynasty. And most of the time it was like adding one a year. I didn't even add one in the COVID year, which is probably weird because most people jumped into extra things during the COVID year. But I was doing the opposite. I was like putting all these rules into place and like I completely expected the whole thing to blow up and just be a disaster. And it wasn't. So that was awesome. And I had actually my best fantasy season ever. So that was pretty cool too. I mean, partly I think I've been lucky. And most of it goes back to the owners though. Like I got really good owners I've never had somebody leave because they're bored or because, you know, it's take care of them and they take care of you.
You keep saying you've got really good owners, but I know that happens in one of your leagues.
Probably in a couple of them, but.
I'm in too many, but look, I really like that approach. I think that opening that trading up, it does create a lot of flexibility. I know I'm in one league with some mongrel commissioner, and even though I host a podcast with him or co-host, he wanted the first for a trade. He was going to make me reverse it. I was like, come on, mate, rates, can I pay you later? He's like, no, it's got to be now. I'm going to reverse it in about 3 seconds. So, you know, it's good that you have a bit of, you know, reasonableness there, Brandon. And I think it does go back to what you say, just having those good owners. And the only thing I'll say that can be not a problem, it's probably a good problem to have, but you find yourself playing in the same league with the same guys. So you can sort of know each other's picks. You can almost predict.
Yeah.
Who's going to build what? But that just adds to the strategy. I guess that makes it a little bit harder. You're not really getting these, you know, too many inexperienced owners to take advantage of or let you get away with you know, selling out. If you make a poor decision, you're probably going to have to live with it.
Yeah. Like I said, we do have a kind of a niche group of there's only so many people that are deep into this whole Dynasty Debbie Australia thing. I am always looking to kind of expand that circle. And so every league I do make sure there's always a couple of fresh owners in there, but it's usually recommendations from an owner that I know really well already. So, but I also think it creates rivalries like me and Shane. He's in every single one of my leagues up to this point. And I just absolutely hate playing that guy in the playoffs.
He does.
I think I get the better of him just as many times as he gets the better of me, but I can't think of one team I've lost more to in the playoffs than Shane's team. So yeah, he's really good. But I think that's good though. You want a nice competitive league, and as much as it's sometimes fun to beat up on people and create this super team, like, you know, that league's just going to suck in a couple of seasons and it'll be all for naught because it'll fold. So I think that also helps keep things competitive and keep it in a good place.
Shane is a very, very good owner. He drafts very, very win-now teams. I look at his rosters. I think this is, you've got a good team, but it's not going to last long. But he just keeps it going. Just keeps it going.
He drafts well too.
Yeah. The dynasty pool in Australia is so incestuous that one of the second dynasty league I joined on Flea Flicker, right? Shane and Ben Campbell were in it. It was just random.
Yep.
And then I joined your league and they were in that one.
Yep.
The IDP one. Like, it's just crazy. The, you know.
They might have recommended you.
I can't remember.
Yeah, remember.
I think you were advertising on one of the pages, NFL pages. Yeah. I think you posted it on there.
Maybe for the IDP one. I did. That was probably the only time I ever had to advertise. Like, I had an opening come up just a couple days ago in a leak. It was literally filled in like 10 minutes. Like, it took no time at all. So I don't worry too much about it anymore.
So leading into our next topic, you started your first Devi League a couple of years back and you start kicking off another one this year. Yeah. I put my hand up to join it. I'm very excited for this one. What are the things that you enjoyed about Devi once you started playing it?
Devi was interesting because I actually don't watch college football. I think I'd really enjoy it if I did, but it's the hard to watch from Australia thing and everything else. And I got a super busy life with my kids and their activities. So it was just really more of the extra challenge. I thought, I'm probably going to completely suck at this, which, to be fair, I haven't proven that I don't suck at it yet because I've only played for one season going into my two seasons going into my third season. Yep. I think it was, just looking for the next challenge, really. It's like, okay, I did this, now I've done this. Like, what is the next step? The next step is to look at those college players and see if I can do what I do well already and try and transition that into a new challenge.
And this is for you and for Matt. What do you guys think is some of the differences in a Devi League versus a normal Dynasty League?
Hit it, Matt.
I was gonna say guests first, but look, I guess from, you know, the perspective of Devi and Dynasty, you'll get a lot more of those guys willing to invest a couple of years than you typically will in a Dynasty. And then other owners will just go, and it's pretty obvious, other owners will just go non-Devi, might draft any Devis and we'll just go win now, which I think Benny did that in DUD, right, the first season, and now you've gone pretty Devi heavy. So you just see that, and I think it's another challenge. You know, I play in three leagues now. I'm not some sort of Devi expert, but if you've never tried it, just jump in. You know, get a low buy-in league and do it. And I'm much like you, Brandon. I don't watch college ball either. Really, it's quite hard to watch it over here, apart from a couple of games a year. Couple of bowl games, but yeah, I've had a lot of fun in it, and you know, I've been doing some pretty good teams. Haven't won anything yet, but yeah, having fun.
Yeah, I think for me, it gives you more. I'm all about, if you know how I structure my startup drafts, I chuck everything into the startup draft. I don't separate everything out, and I set up my scoring so that's very difficult to figure out. Okay, should I go wide receiver, running back, linebacker? I mean, depending on, you know, how your league's set up. Everything's got value.
It's very balanced.
Yeah, and I like that because I want to give people as many things to think about as possible and as many options as possible. Like, you know, one guy wants to get six of the top linebackers. Another guy wants to stack running backs. Another guy wants to do this. Another guy wants to stack Debbies. Since it was my first Devi league, I went fairly heavy Devi. That rhymed. That was good. Just because it was like, when in Rome, right? So I went pretty heavy on it, and it's really my only team that I've ever owned that I'm rebuilding, so to speak. It was never built, but, you know, whatever you want to call it, productive struggle, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, the two-year plan, I think, is going to turn out to be more of a four-year plan. So slight miscalculation on that. But I'm having fun doing something different than my other teams that are historically fairly competitive year in and year out. So,
yeah, I think every league that I'm in with you, besides the Divi League, you've won at some point.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think with Divi, if you don't hit in, if you go Divi heavy and you don't hit on those Divis in the startup, it really, really hurts you, especially if you get Divi early and often, like our good friend Mick Travers did in that DUD startup.
And he went heavier than me. Yep.
He went really heavy, but he looks like he's on the verge of having a really good team.
Yeah. This will be the season if what he did was going to work, we're going to see it this season. If we don't see it start to pay off this season, then yeah, he's in trouble.
I just took my first Devi in that league, actually, at 2.06. I traded into the 2.06 in the current draft, which is it's a combined Devi rookie draft. Some leagues do a separate Devi draft and a separate rookie draft, and it's the same order for both. And in a situation like that, a bottom feeder team, it's a lot easier to rebuild because you're getting the top pick in both drafts. I much prefer how you did it.
Yeah. I can see that sometimes you do want to try and pull that bottom team up. It's a bit of give and take on that, but that's the way I like to do it.
I mean, look, my Devi in that, Malik Willis, 2.06, very proud of that. I think he's going to be from Liberty quarterback. He'll be a high NFL draft pick. And I can see, like, in that league, you really blew it up and you went really Devi heavy. You got a lot of the strong 23 class coming onto your team.
Yep.
A lot of the talk on the street at the moment is that it's time to sell the 22 class already and focus the love on the 23 class.
Yep.
Why do you gentlemen think that is?
I'll go first, I guess. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. Like, I did go heavy on the 23, but part of that was because all the really good ones from the 22 were already taken. So it's kind of like, do I want to take the second or third tier, you know, from the 2022, or do I want to kind of shoot for the moon and go to the top prospects of 23, which is what I did there, kind of shooting for the moon, so to speak, instead of going down to the second or third options. But I think I really try not to write off any class when they have an entire season and hopefully a fairly normal season this year to get through. Like, I thought last season was going to be a disaster. That's the only, like, I sold most of my top draft picks for 2021 in most of my leagues where I could get a decent return for them, because I literally thought the whole thing was going to blow up, fall apart. There wouldn't be college football. We'd go into a draft not knowing anything, and it'd be a total crapshoot, and a 206 would be just as useful as a 106, because nobody's going to know, right? It didn't work out that way. We had, you know, fairly, I won't call it normal, but we were still really able to see which prospects, you know, are better than other prospects. And there was still a good process involved, I think, to rank those players. I was kind of sad going into some of these drafts because I don't have as much capital as I generally tend to like to have in rookie drafts. But I try not to write off any class. I think 2023 looks certainly strong, but a lot changes in a year. So we'll see.
Matt, you give us a lowdown on your opinion, please, sir.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure why it is the case, but that is just a narrative, right? The narrative that's been driven around, you hear it on a few podcasts, is fade 22, trade out of your 22. I'm not interested in 22 firsts, trade out of them and get your 23s. And I think you can just take advantage of that. I think that's a bit of an option to, you know, there's a few studs, I still think, in the 22 class. And, you know, I think they'll keep ascending throughout this year. So not to say that I'm hating on 23 class. I think that looks like a good class. Wow. I said I'm no super Devi expert, but I just think that there is a bit of an opportunity that you can grab that value from the 22 class while it's still, you know, relatively cheap.
That's it. Get those 2022 picks cheap if that's what everybody's thinking when they swerve you or zig you zag, right? So not a bad idea.
Yeah. Look, my thinking there is really that people are excited for a couple of prospects in the 23 class already, really excited, mainly mainly DJ Uiagalelei, the Clemson quarterback, Bijan Robinson, I think he's a running back from Texas, if I remember correctly, and Tank Bigsby, the running back from Auburn. People are really, really excited for those three guys. But I think it's really being generated from the quarterback, where like DJ Uiagalelei looks like the clear-cut 101 in the class, whereas right now the 22 class doesn't really have a clear-cut number one quarterback. Could be Spencer Rattler.
Rattler, if you had to put a gun to the head, but yeah.
And Rattler doesn't, to look at him, he doesn't really have any special traits. You know, he doesn't have a big arm. He's not super fast. He's not, you know, he's only about 6'1", 200-odd pounds.
Not your prototypical type of quarterback,
Yeah. I do like Rattler. I think I've got a bathroom bet with Shepsy on Rattler. So maybe that's why, you know, I'm not fading the 22 class as much as others. But, yeah, it's true. There's no outright 101, right, where we're already declaring that for the 23 DJU's, the consensus 101 already.
For Superflex, yep.
Superflex, right. Yeah.
I'd put Breece Hall, the running back out of, I think, is it Illinois?
Iowa State. I got a list here.
Iowa State, sorry. Iowa State. I'd put him up against any running back in the 23 class. I think he's really, really good. I know he just got hurt, but George Pickens, the Georgia wide receiver, he looked like an absolute stud. Not like, well, last year in the brief time he played, but the year before. I mean, those are two elite prospects.
Sure.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be fading the class. I think why trade 22 picks now for 23 when by the time the 22 class comes here, there will be hype. And you'll be able to get 23 picks plus if you don't like the players of the 22 class. I'd be making now.
I think the play is if you want cheap 2022 picks, go for them now, because when the draft gets a little bit closer, they ain't going to be cheap anymore. And if you don't like it then trade them for 23 picks.
Yeah, like that. That's it. Definitely. So, guys, who is your favorite Devy player at the moment? The guy that you want to have on your teams?
I'll let you go first, Matt, so I don't steal your thunder.
I think we had a chat before. I think, like, for mine, it's Treylon Burks, which I think you sort of mentioned that you like too, Brandon. I think his price is a bit depressed. That people aren't really too high on him. We've seen a little bit of coverage on him, but he's not one of those ones that are going super early. So I think you can jag him at a pretty decent price. And I just like his talent. I think some of his highlights are pretty good. And I think he's in for a big year.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's actually one of my favorites. I mean, you hear Bell, Wilson, Pickens, Olave, Mechie. My infancy in Devy in general, so don't take it as gospel by any stretch. But if I'm going to go for a Devy player, I tend to try and go for, you know, shoot for the moon type of thing, which means over time I'll probably bust way more than I find acceptable, and I probably change that strategy. But he's really the wide receiver that really seems to jump off the page to me. As far as, you know, if you want that superstar, he looks like the one to me.
Great minds think alike.
That's it.
Yeah, look, the Devy that I think is still going under the radar is probably the Alabama quarterback, Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I mean, his value will rise. He's going to be on the stacked Alabama team. There was talk that if it was a normal off season last year, that he actually would have gotten the starting gig over Matt Jones.
Yeah, I think everybody expected him to get that job and then didn't. So that certainly could have been part of the reason why not.
Yeah, sorry, Mac Jones. Matt Jones was the former Arkansas wide quarterback turned wide receiver who was a junkie. Remember that guy?
Yes.
I think I can believe that's the reason he didn't get the job. So I'm really looking forward to see how he goes. And Pickens is one of my favorite wide receiver prospects. And I probably shouldn't give it away because we're about to do a Devy startup. But my strategy with Devy is, and maybe it won't work because of the hype around the 23 class, but I generally fade the class that's coming out in the next year because they tend to be the most expensive.
Yep.
And I'll target Devy's coming out in 23 or 24.
Yeah.
I, yeah.
And, I mean, you know, every year adds to that risk profile, but that's the name of the game, right?
As a Journey Brown owner, I can attest to that. You never know. Yeah.
It works, and it works out. Like in the DUD Devi, Shane drafted Justin Fields way later than Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields was drafted in the teen rounds, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
In that same league, is it that league that you got Kyle Pitts, Matt, or was it Will Ferrell?
Oh, that's in the Scotties. I think I took Herbert in that league. I think he might have been a bit later than Fields too. But, yeah, I took in Scotty's Will Ferrell league, I took Kyle Pitts in the same round as Will Dissy and Jamison Crowder. So, yeah, you can find these gems, you know, if you're a bit patient. Everyone else is trying to fill their roster to compete now. If you're happy to eat a year, you can jag these superstars pretty quick and maybe cash out on them or maybe just ride them the whole.
I would argue that you don't even need to eat a year if you're in a startup. If you're targeting the guys who are not going to come out of next year's draft class, like in the Will Ferrell Devi, I drafted George Pickens, DJ Uiagalelei, Breece Hall, and Bijan Robinson, and not one was picked before the teen rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I highly doubt you're going to feel bad about those picks in a couple of years.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess it depends how deep you're going, right? If you're just going to grab three or four, or whether you grab seven, eight, or nine. And I'm interested to see how it goes in your league, Brand. I think this one's uncapped, right? Ben mentioned it was uncapped, this Devi, where I think the two that we play in currently, it's a cap of 24 Devi players.
It's gonna have a cap, but it's gonna have like a 50 odd player, like 48 to 50 player cap instead of with our current one's 24. Uncapped would be a bit harder to run with MFL. You'd have to do some extra manual work because they only allow so many custom players. I think it's like 56 or something. So if you go more than 56, it gets a little more intensive on the commissioner. And I, you know, as much as I try and run rock solid leagues, I don't want to do any more work than I have to. So yeah.
you want to keep it in MFL if you can, for sure.
Yeah. Otherwise, you start dragging. I mean, we got to run a spreadsheet anyway, just to keep track of who owns what players and some other things. But MFL generally tracks 99% of it very well. So
nice.
And it was funny because when we started that league, I was like, oh, why do we have a cap? Why do we have a cap? I actually think the cap is fun. But I like that you're not going to do a cap for this league because I think it changes the strategy so much.
Yep.
Just that one little twist. Like the value after the startup because of the cap in the drafts, like in our off season combined rookie Devi draft, everyone's wanting to trade up to be able to get their Devi because there might only be 10 Devi spots or 12 Devi spots.
Yeah. If you're not in the first two rounds, no chance.
You're not getting a Devi in the third round, right?
I think we had 18 Devis available, I think, this season. We didn't even get out of the second round.
And then it's still – so it adds the twist of adding value to an early second, even a mid-second round pick. It adds a fair bit of value to those picks because everybody wants those Devis, whether it should or not, you know, hard to say, right? But it does because everybody thinks their Devis are going to hit, so they want to trade up and get them. And then you have good players who are dropping, like actual NFL rookies who are dropping in the rookie draft.
I know you want to go on. Give me your favorite.
When I was speaking about an owner who passed on Zach Wilson and Javonte Williams for DJ Uiagalelei and Bijan Robinson, it's this man right here.
I was one of them. There was multiple.
There was two owners that passed on Zach Wilson, and
but the one that
owners...
took him didn't want him. but he knew he had to take him, so the third owner did.
Yeah, the value was there. But
no, I agree that if I like Zach Wilson, I actually don't. I hate BYU, but that's not actually why I don't like Zach Wilson. Just an interesting fact, but. Yeah, just not a fan of Zach Wilson. Obviously, all the other stuff is there. He's got oodles of potential. The draft capital's there. He's going to a place where he could very well be successful. I could be completely wrong. I've always been not a numbers guy. I'm kind of a from the gut type of thing. The more I try and really dig into numbers and trying to use numbers to my advantage in fantasy football, actually I do worse. I try to get as much information into me as possible. Opinions of people I trust, reports, different things like that, but I don't really let stats and stuff get to me. And then I just kind of just make a gut decision on whether I like a player or don't like a player. So it's kind of, I got a bit of a weird kind of thing, the way I do fantasy football and rate players. But more so, my thing was that I realized that my team wasn't going to be able to compete till 23. Now, obviously, Zach Wilson would still be fine in that situation. But I was really targeting players so I could try and be 23 as a starter when I tried and compete. And so that's part of why I took the two top prospects as I saw it right now in 23, right there at the top of the draft. And I just don't like drafting players that I don't want. So even if the value's there, I'd rather try and do something different.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And if you're doing a startup, even though they're 23 class, those two might be the first Devies picked in a startup.
Their ADP wise are the top two Devies overall right now. Yep. Yeah. Bijan so and DJ.
That's very, very unusual because it normally is the immediate class that's coming out. It's the first time I've seen that in forever that I've been playing fantasy football. And my first Devy league was about 5 years ago.
Right. So, and that just feeds into that narrative of 22 versus 23 again.
Exactly. But it's still, I guess, in my brain, it's unusual to see. So I haven't quite come to terms with it. But if you put it in that context, it makes sense, right? If Zach Wilson, he was an underclassman, he declared. If he hadn't declared for the NFL draft, and if Javonte hadn't declared for the NFL draft, there's no Devy startup where they would be going over those two guys.
That's right. Those are really the two top guys that got left out of the previous Devy picks. Those are the no-brainer ones that were left over from the 22 class. Yeah. Or the 21 class, sorry.
So, look, before we continue talking, just got to let people know, today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesports.com. PrimetimeSportsTalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to for sports content. So, guys, what nice are
read.
The...
Nice read, Benny. Well done. Very professional.
Thank you. I try my best, mate.
That's why you get paid the big bucks.
Yeah, the big bucks. So... was there any more discussion around Devy that we wanted to have? We touched on all the points we wanted to touch on. We want to try and extract as much information out of Brandon before the startup happens.
I think, yeah, exactly. The only other thing that I think I'd want to mention with Devy is I'm always trying to, like I said, new challenge for starters. But I'm also, as I mentioned before, always trying to give people as many things to think about as possible. So that means the eventual next step after going Devy, a bit deeper Devy, well, double the Devy, so quite a bit deeper Devy, is I imagine, and Ben will be probably very happy to hear this, maybe next year, maybe the year after, don't know. Maybe IDP Devy, not sure. Could maybe be on the horizon, because again, that's just more things to think about when you're drafting. And I think that as many options of team building, that you can give people, I think the better. And also everybody values Devy wildly different, right? You would have took Zach Wilson. I took DJU and Bijan. Somebody else took Tank Bigsby over those players. That also opens up trading avenues because how do you trade? People value things differently, make deals. So I think we win.
If you do an IDP, Devy, I'm all in. I'm still upset that I didn't join the WWE League. I joined the chat, and I left the chat, and it was full. I still feel a regret. Still pinching at my heartstrings. But
loving that league, loving that theme. Too, you're missing out, Benny. Good thing.
I would have totally stole wrestling if you hadn't just done it. So I'm a little salty about that, but he beat me to it.
It's a good theme. But I'd be all in on an IDP. That's something that I haven't done, an IDP Devi League. That would be a lot of fun.
There's not even resources, I don't think, on – I mean, there probably is somewhere buried deep in the web somewhere of Devi IDP players. That's like, yeah.
And for the people out there who think, well, I don't want to watch college football and I don't want to draft college players yet before they're not in the NFL without that information – when you're playing Devi, you can completely punt on the Devi aspect of that.
Yeah.
And still field really good teams. Because there's always going to be people who are really excited for Devis who will trade good players for your Devi picks. So you don't even need to touch the Devi aspect of the league at all.
Yeah, we had James went straight up veteran. He was just like, oh, I can't believe you guys keep letting these guys drop. And he just built this monster of a team. And it didn't perform. And now he's in trouble. Unfortunate for him.
You know who faded Devi in the startup and whose team did before?
You, sir.
This guy. So, I went into that draft wanting to draft Devi, but they were just going all way too early for me. And I sat there and I drafted first and second year players already in the NFL. And even though I absolutely stuffed up my first round pick because I took Juju Smith-Schuster,
who I can't trade in any league, I'm just hoping he'll be all right. But
this startup was in 2019, so it was the year after his massive year, and he was my number one wide receiver. Took him with my 1.10 pick, and obviously missed. Still managed to win the ship in that league that first year, and I can't remember if I made the finals the second year or – I know I didn't win it the second year. I think I lost in the semifinals. Yeah, I lost in the semifinals. But I've still got a really strong team, so I'm pretty excited for it.
And I just traded you Swift, so you're an even stronger team. And Cooks as well?
You traded Matt Cooks.
Yeah. Oh, you got Cooks.
You traded me Swift and Wentz.
Nah, that's what it was, right. Yeah. I like Swift as well, but again, knowing I'm not going to be competitive till 23, I just didn't want to let a running back sit on my bench for 2 years in his prime. So,
and that's the thing that you've got to consider. Even though DeAndre Swift is a really young player, by the time you're ready to compete, he might be on the downside of his career as a running back.
Yeah, and it's Detroit, so I mean, it's not a sure thing either. So
that's the one thing I'm really nervous about with him.
His price is not going to get much higher. I don't think the hype's like massive, right? So good time to sell.
It seems to have died down a little bit lately, the hype. I think people are worried about the coach speak and people are worried about the history in Detroit as we edge closer to the season. You've seen a bit of the shine come off, I would say.
A little bit. I don't think I ranked you over the Colts too badly on that one, though.
I'm very happy with that trade. I hate not having three quarterbacks on my roster in Superflex.
Same.
And I've got four now because I traded for Deshaun Watson, who might never play again. But I had the depth and I thought I'd take the risk.
Three and a half because you got Haskins as well, right, in that league?
Oh, that's like 3 1/10.
Yeah, that's not even a quarter.
Yeah. just want to let people know that on the Tallista titles, we are giving away a Trey Lance mini helmet, and all you need to do is donate a minimum of $2 to the Tim Tebow Foundation, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and email a screenshot of your donation and subscription to tallisttitles@gmail.com to be entered.
Is that only for US residents?
That is only for US residents, I think.
Terrible. Anyway, all right.
Yeah.
Moving on.
And
please donate, though, US residents.
Please donate, US residents. And also hit a like and subscribe button, throw us a podcast review. And we've set up a Patreon recently, three tiers. So tier one is $3 per month and it gets you in the tier to tier group team group chat. Tier two is $5 per month and you get early access to the waiver wire episodes, entry into our Frankenstein Listener League and team to team group chat. And tier three is $10 per month and you get one-on-one roster analysis, free entry into our Frankenstein Listener League and the tier to tier team group chat and early access to the waiver wire episodes. Well, up here, I'll just say that for people who don't know, the Frankenstank League is a league that the guys run. It's a redraft league where you steal players after every week. So it's really interesting and it's a lot of fun league and there's some big time players in it. So It's $25 US for the season. So challenge yourself and give it a crack.
It sounds like taking pink slips after a car race in like Fast and Furious or something.
It is. It's intense.
Build your monster, right? You're Dr. Frankenstein building your monster. So you steal a certain amount of quarterbacks and a certain amount of running backs and build your monster team. It's a bit of a fun league, and it is for charity too. Most of the wins go to charity, which is another good effort. And just on Tim Tebow too, there's a really good cause. Obviously, the amount of money we raise, it's not going to be a massive amount, but it's more just that awareness that is a problem. And I think there is a sort of a way around. If you do want to donate and you're Aussie based, just reach out to the team. We can make your donation happen.
Thanks, Matt, for doing part of the promotions there. I'm carrying you here, man. What are you doing to me? All right. Why we got you here, Brendan? Was there anything else that you wanted to touch on?
I don't think so.
No.
No, I think I covered everything that I wanted to touch on. So, obviously, if you have anything else, I'm more than happy to talk on it.
Matt? What's the outlook for the Bears, Brendan? What's your expectation? Are you field season, or are you happy with the draft pick? Let's pick his brain while we got him.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the Bears fans in general before the draft were at a I won't say all-time low, but recent history, all-time low. Not really seeing a future. Andy Dalton, okay, you could do a lot worse, right? But then what's next, right? There was no plan. There was no what's next. We're not going to suck bad enough. I mean, even though people think we do, we're not going to suck bad enough to get a high pick in a draft anywhere. The next little while. So it's kind of like, what are we just going to go? I would say 8-8, but that's no longer a thing. So we just go 7-9 or 9-7 and just, stay in mediocrity for the next 5 to 10 years. So that was kind of depressing. How Justin Fields dropped to the Bears, I have no clue. My whole family are Broncos fans, and I think they're complete idiots for not drafting him. Same with the Panthers, should have grabbed him, and probably other teams, but those were the two kind of like, once it got past those two teams, I'm like, trade up. This could actually happen. And they did. So now Bears fans are literally like freaking out. I don't actually have my Fields jersey yet, but incoming. So it takes a little while to get stuff over here. I can't wait to be sporting my number one jersey. I think I'm even going to get an Ohio State one. I've never had a college jersey, so I think it's a good time to jump on one of those as well. We're pretty stoked. Defense is still in pretty good shape overall.
14 wins, 15 wins.
Was Fields your QB2?
Fields was my QB2, easily my QB2. Yeah. I think he was a little more like a 1A, 1B for me. I would have been happy. Well, obviously, we certainly weren't getting the number one guy, which is just escaping Trevor my Lawrence. Memory bank. Lawrence, yep. But definitely, after coming off of Trubisky, last thing he would have wanted to do is go after a Lance or a Wilson, where the bust potential is just way higher than Fields. Fields has done it on a high level, done it for a long time. He's legit. He's the real deal. And if Lance ends up being better because of San Francisco and because he has a few more physical tools or whatever, like, hey, more power to him. But man, Bears were looking for a sure thing, and I nothing's a sure thing, but I think we got about as close as we're going to get for a long time. So hopefully it works out for us.
I think you've got your quarterback for the near term and the long term. I think he's going to be great. And I was, reading reports that the Vikings were just waiting for him to fall to them. And I'm so furious that they didn't do something to try and move up and get him.
Yeah.
Because I think they're stuck in purgatory now with Cousins, who is a fine quarterback, but he's never going to take you to the Super Bowl.
That's the hard thing, right? Yeah, he's good, but he's not that good, right? So unless the rest of your team is just absolutely dominant, like a defense or something, like it's not going to happen.
Yep. And, I mean, a Vikings fan, big rivals, I'd love to have a Fields Bears jersey. I'm thinking on it. Because the Chicago Bears jersey, let's be honest, guys, it's one of the best in sports, right? The Chicago Bears colors and the logo and just the
even
just
that
the
jumper, right? That classic 85 jumper with a big C and Mike Dichter, you see it wearing it sometimes. So it's just, it's classy.
Yeah, I'm a huge, my favorite player is Walter Payton. So that's, can't go wrong there. So other than the only one I'd even put in this class is Barry Sanders. So went from Detroit. But
and I love Trey Lance. I know Matt loves Trey Lance. He took Trey Lance in the first round of a startup that we did recently. But the bust potential is so big. I mean, the guy's played. He's going to start as the backup, which I think is actually, I think it's a good thing that he's going to be the backup and they're not doing like a Jordan Love thing where they made him the third string quarterback, right? They haven't messed around. They haven't put Rosen or the other guy ahead of him. You're the backup. But still, by the time he's starting, he probably only played one game in close to 2 years as the starter, that one game he played last season. The bust potential is huge, but man, there were some clips of him on Twitter. That ball was on a rope, man. It was just bang and just flick of the wrist and just vroom.
Yeah. He's got all the tools for sure. Kind of like Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming, which I was born in Wyoming, so I was very aware of Josh Allen coming out, more so than I would normally be pre my Debbie years. He's got all the tools, and he went to a place that could probably be the best place to give him the chance to be great. At least for me coming off of Trubisky, I didn't want to take – give me the shirt, as much of a sure thing as possible.
Yeah, you can understand that. But I do believe in Lance, having seen what Shanahan did with Nick Mullins. If there was a place for him to go, he went to the right place.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, perfect landing spot for him. Yep.
We've got to touch on this because Hatton put it on the show sheet, right? Potential debates. He's got Amari Cooper versus CD Lamb. Now, Matt, is this for Dynasty or for 2021?
Obviously 2021. I think when I originally put it on, I was on the CD side, and I think you were saying Amari was the wide receiver one there, but I think you might have changed your stance for this year.
For this year, I like both, but I think CeeDee Lamb will be the one by the end of the year. I don't feel strongly enough in saying points per game that one is going to finish ahead of the other. I think they'll be very, very close in points per game. But I think by the end of the year, CeeDee Lamb will be the number one. He'll be dictating coverages, that kind of thing.
So you're going to sit in the stamps is what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
You haven't got to take...
For this season, I would also say that they'll be very close. The one to own long-term is CD for sure.
I mean, I don't favor one over. I think Amari could catch a bunch of balls. I think CD will have more touchdowns and yards. We'll see. In PPR, I'm not gonna say. In standard, I'd pick CD. But I don't play standard. Standard's not even my standard. Standard's like
people still play that?
Yeah, it's crap. Let's not talk about it.
One QB, standard.
And one QB. Ew.
I still have my home league is still one QB because they will not change. So that's my only one QB league, I think.
It's fine, right? If you guys want to play, that's I'm not hating on just
I win like every two or three seasons, so it's fine. I just take the money. It's fine.
The last little debate and then we'll wrap it up. This is a big one, guys. I think there'll be some strong opinions on this one. Dynami Brown versus Nico Collins.
At least I put something on the show sheet, did a bit of prep, unlike some other people. But I like Damian Brown. I think Fitzpatrick's going to ball out. I think you're in a 4-4 at the combine. And I like his talent. I think he's a little bit underrated. And I think, Benny, you might be a Nico Collins truther in the third round.
Can I hedge again? Can I say... that I would take Dynami Brown for 2021, but I would want Nico Collins long-term.
Yeah, it was a bit hard without Deshaun, right? If Deshaun Watson was definitely the QB there, it might be a fair question, but it's going to be a struggle if you're a rookie without a decent quarterback. So,
well,
I don't have a strong opinion, but I'd go Brown probably, but could be totally wrong on that. I don't have a strong opinion on that one.
Well, Nico Collins was actually – a really high-rated Devy prospect who fell in value because Michigan don't know how to develop wide receivers.
Michigan doesn't know how to develop anybody.
Same thing with Donovan Peoples-Jones. He was the number one wide receiver in his class, and he looked like crap at Michigan. And even Tarik Black was a really high-rated receiver, and he went undrafted. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing to those guys, man.
Don't draft Devys from Michigan.
Don't draft Devys from Michigan. Just don't do it.
Nope. That we can all agree on.
Yeah, but definitely. But love Nico Collins. Think he profiles as a wide receiver one. in just his skill set, like athleticism, that kind of thing. Don't know what's going to happen with the Texans situation, quarterback situation. That's probably the one thing that just puts me off him, is just that organization. Whereas with Washington, short a quarterback, you see, which Fitzpatrick is a big upgrade on what they had. Short a quarterback. I love what they've done with that roster.
Man, something's wrong if you're a worse organization than the Washington football team, right? That's how bad the Texans are. But they've built a good roster, great defense. I think they're a sneaky shot at going pretty deep into the playoffs.
Why wouldn't they win the division? They won it last year, and they'll be better now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're done. That's close to a wrap. Well, I think we've gasped on for enough. We've taken too much of your time, Brandon. You've been very, very, very generous with it. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Hope you'll consider coming on again in season.
Maybe after, let me know.
Maybe after we've got some tape on Justin Fields playing at the NFL level, we can come on and talk some Bears.
Sounds good.
Just want to let everybody know that you can follow Matt at FF Dormat. You can follow me at Life from the Ben. The handle for the whole group is at Towards the Titles. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, and Spotify. And I hope that all you Americans waking up now have a great day. Thank you very much. Ciao, people.